Willow called Doris back there to do this here, but she was too far in the back. So John had to put the battery in for me. Thank you, John. You know, Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, reminds us so beautifully, especially in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse number 12, the benefits that we receive, the blessings that we receive by being children of God. And in verse number 12, he says, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven, so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And he reminds us, 2 points. Number one, verse 13, that we are the salt of the earth. But the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under feet men. Then number two, he reminds us who we are, that we are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. And neither do men light a candle and put it on a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now drop down to chapter 7. He gives us another point I think that we need to see tonight as we talk about the foundation that we are building. Christ the foundation. And Christ being the foundation, who we are, the salt of the earth, the light. But that foundation that we build, it's got to be upon the power of the word of God. In Matthew 7, verse 24, here he says, "Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house on the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat upon their house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which buildeth his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house." And this is the sad part of we who are calling ourselves Christians, that if we don't build that solid rock, that foundation, build upon Jesus, who's the chief cornerstone, the Bible says, "And it failed. And was great was the fall of it." Let's go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. Tonight, for a few minutes, I want to give you a few words that you may want to note in relationship about Christ being that foundation. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 4. The first word that I want us to see, number one, who we are in relationship to being children of God and heirs of Christ Jesus. Number one, that this foundation is a notable one. Let no one fool you, brethren, who you are. We are Christians, amen. We are disciples, amen. And it is an honor and a privilege to be able to wear that name, to be brothers and sisters in Christ and a part of the family of God. And the first word that I want you to note, that is, that number one, it is chosen. It is a chosen foundation. The Bible says in verse 4, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men." But look what it says. "But it is chosen of God And it is precious. Let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. And let's begin reading to reemphasize that word chosen. That he chose us in Christ Jesus to be a part of this institution, this ecclesia, which is a notable foundation of choice, and that he chose us, as you're going to see here, before the foundations of the world. Beginning in verse 3, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." Underline that word, circle that word. That's you and me, the chosen one. The one who built this house upon that solid foundation, that when the rains come and wind come and beat on that house, brethren, it don't supposed to fall. We supposed to rejoice in us, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Accordingly, as he has chosen us, look what he says here, in him, in who? In Jesus Christ. In him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to him according to the good pleasure of his will. And go to chapter 3. Let's look at verse 10 as we continue on, so you can see that this foundation that we are building in Christ Jesus, not based on who we are, it's not based on our own doing, but it's based upon the will of God. Because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 10, it says, "To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church." What church? The church of Christ. The manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. Chapter 5. Let's look at one more. Chapter 5 and verse number 10. And that's the reason why. Because of the manifold wisdom of God. Because of, in Ephesians chapter 1, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, having predestinated us. Chapter 5 and verse 10 says, "Let no one fool you." To lose who you are, to lose you to be that solid foundation. Because he says in Ephesians 5:10, he says, "Prove all things and to hold fast to that which is acceptable unto the Lord." Prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Based on that word this week, who are we? We are chosen. See, it's not your choice, it's God's choice before the foundation of the world to realize that we have a notable and a great foundation that is built upon that rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 11. Not only is this foundation I'm talking about is a foundation of choice, not our choice, but he chose us before the foundation of the world. Guess what, brethren? It is the only foundation. It is the only foundation. You know, Paul said that when I depart, grievous wolves would enter in, speaking perverse doctrines to draw disciples after them. Paul told Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, he said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap up themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. So he told this young preacher, Timothy, he says, but watch. And that's the warning that we all need to be doing, not just tomorrow, not just Wednesday night, not just next Sunday morning, but as long as we have breath in our body, to watch thou in all things. In all things, endure affliction. He told him to do the work of an evangelist. And the same thing that Paul said in Ephesians 5:13, prove what is acceptable unto the Lord, to make full proof of thy ministry. That is, of your service, or how you serve Jesus, or how we look unto Jesus, who's the author and our author of our faith, because it's a choice that we have been blessed with before the foundation of the world. And as we read here in 1 Corinthians 3:11, brethren, it's the only foundation. The Bible says, for other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is in Christ Jesus. Go to Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. We see another reading here of encouragement, brethren, in relationship to this only foundation. Don't be hoodwinked. Don't be fooled. But everything that looks good is not always good if it's not backed up by truth. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That is, that this foundation that we are a part of, do you hear me tonight? That is a notable one. It's the only one. Let's go back to 1 Peter. It's a firm foundation. It's a firm foundation. 1 Peter chapter 2, and let's look at verse number 6, and let's see what the Holy Spirit says here in relationship to this foundation, being not only a notable one, not only being one that is a chosen one, not by your choice, not by my choice, but it was preordained before the foundation of the world. He says here in 1 Peter 2 and verse number 6, he says, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture. See, brother, listen to me. See, I don't know who we fooling when we are TB too busy to pick up this book. And as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a worker need not to be ashamed, but we rightly handle the word of truth. He says, you also, wherefore also, it is what? Contained in the scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. This cornerstone is elect, it's precious. And he that believed on him, you shall not be confounded. You shall not be confused. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 that God is not the author of confusion. If you realize where your blessing come from, where do our blessing come from? It comes through the power of the word of God. We think that, man, if I just can get this $1 million,
I just get this wind that sweepstake? If I just get this right job? What he's saying here in verse number 6, look what he says here. He says here that he is the chief cornerstone. It is elect. It is precious. And then he said that if you look in the scriptures and you study the scriptures and you understand to know to be transformed, he says, once you know them, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You won't be confused. Confusion comes when we build the wrong foundation. When we don't realize who we are. That only foundation that cannot be moved. Yes, there are going to be problems. Yes, just being a Christian. But if we're going to suffer, let us suffer as a Christian. And back up to verse 5. Look what he says in verse number 5. He said, ye also, lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God. And go down to verse 7. Until you therefore which believe that he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. Being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now look at verse 9. He says, here we go again, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that should show both the praise of him who have called you, me, out of darkness unto his marvelous light. Durability, uniting foundation, an appointed foundation, a tried foundation. And brethren, it will not be moved. If we go back to the power of the Word of God and let the Word of God work in our life to be well pleasing and acceptable unto him. Let me give one more scripture and the lesson will be ours. Go to the book of 1 John, chapter 4, chapter 5. We're getting reading in verse 1. 1 John 5, 1. He says in 1 John 5, 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not hard. For whatsoever is born of God, look what he says here, we overcome the world. And this is, and underline this word, victory. Victory that overcome the world, what? Even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and by blood, and even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is true. Now hold your spot right there. And I want to tie that back to Romans 8 very quickly. Romans chapter 8. I want to tie that in to the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and about verse number 16. In Romans chapter 8, and beginning in verse number 16, to tie into what he's saying here about the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth,
even what Peter said, by us being a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar nation, it comes because it is contained in the scripture, that is, through the Spirit. Here Paul says in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse number 16, look what he says here. He said that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together. And what that's simply saying, brother, in closing, look what he says here. Because of the power of the word of God, which is the Spirit, when you study, or when I study, or when we take what's contained in the scriptures, amen, what it do, it controls our spirit. Amen. That we become children of God. So you got to have the right spirit. The only way you're going to get the right spirit is through the power of the word of God. You understand? That makes us heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. That makes us, number one, chosen. Amen. Number two, that is a firm foundation. Right? Number three, it is the only foundation. Number four, it is a knowable foundation because he is all backed up with the power of the word of God, which is the Spirit. But see, this Spirit got to be able to transform this spirit. That's the attitude of how we receive the word. Faith without works is dead. A lot of people say they have faith, but that faith is not motivated by works in order by the Spirit to make this spirit a good spirit. You understand what he's saying here? That's the reason why these words are so important as we build this foundation every day that we live, this life that we're living in. We travel down King's Highway each day, get gooder and gooder, amen. Or better and better. See, in relationship to understanding who we are, in relationship to what Peter is saying, when he talks about royal priesthood, holy nation, peculiar. See, these are things that are attributes of who we are, see, as we build this foundation every day, which is a solid foundation. See, it's the Spirit, which is the word, the 66, 39, 27, that we build in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. I was telling someone today, I was reading chapter 13 of the book of Leviticus, And he was talking about things that are clean and unclean in relationship to scabs that we get. And as I began the reading, I said, well, what scabs have to do with the word of God? Well, he's talking about you need to make a distinction of that which is clean and unclean. Excuse me. See? And that's the whole point that we need to understand. But it got to be guided by the Spirit, because our spirit got to bear witness with his spirit. He's the light, right? And we have to be the light in order for us to have fellowship. Another point you should see. See, ain't no way in the world for you to say you in the light, see, or you have fellowship with him and hate your brother. See, because it robs us of the benefits that we have in relationship by not being able to forgive. Because Ephesians 4:30 says you don't want to grieve the Spirit. You with me? To what he's saying here. And a lot of people don't have time to study. You don't put nothing in 1 Corinthians 6:19 or Colossians 3:16, and when you're putting nothing in, the more you are depriving your spirit. That is a spiritual malnutrition. Like if you don't eat for your flesh, you will what? Get weak. And you get to the doctor, he say, well, you are starving for malnutrition, and your body will break down. Well, what do you think your spirit would do? And then when you do that, you don't build that right foundation. That is that you are unappreciative here. You lose the firmness. You lose the only. See, and you don't realize that what we got is knowable. Because let me tell you something, brother. If people in the church realize what I'm saying today, they wouldn't be adding to God's word. Right or wrong? See, if people realize who we are and what I'm saying tonight, we'll take it just the way it is. Because why would you want to add to it? Amen?
when you got everything. See, like I tell a man, well, why would you want another woman when you already got a wife? Amen. Well, the reason why, because you want something else, because you don't have the understanding of what you have at home. Because you understood what the Bible say about wives and the husband relationship, that way God put it in motion and sanctified it, but you won't want nothing else. And that's a sermon in itself. Amen. But when you fail to study what the Spirit says, back to 1 John, see, when you fail to understand what he's saying here, in verse 6, 5, 6, and it is the Spirit. Because everything that we have, this foundation, he has an ear, let him hear. See, it's gathered around the Spirit that bears witness with our spirit. And the only way it's going to bear witness with your spirit, you got to have understanding. It's not based on what I told you. It's based on what's in the book that you receive as you study God's word. So in conclusion, you go back to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, when he says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Man, we got a lot to be glad for. Amen. And don't let nobody fool you and take that away from you. Don't you get so busy that the devil will rob you of the ability to be able to be what you need to be. And that is a Christian. If you're here today and you need to respond to the invitation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, come right now as we stand there, we sing.